This morning I'm going to be reading Pastor's sermon. I happened to search and I found that on July 28th, 2013, he preached on Luke 11, 1-13. So, the title of this is Jesus Teaches Us How to Pray. While watching a YouTube presentation by a leading church evangelist, he asked his audience of pastors and leaders this question. If someone ever asked you to tell them about Jesus, how would you answer? Let me give you a clue. If someone you have just met asked you to tell them about yourself, you would probably include things and activities that you'd like to do in your daily life. Already, you are conjuring up in your minds a list of activities that describe you. Now, if this occasion were a seminar or a workshop rather than a formal worship service, I would have you share this list about yourself with another person and have them repeat the process to you. Wouldn't that be a great way for us to better get to know each other and to build genuine community among us? Back to Jesus. Usually, when we think of Jesus and the things the Gospels tell us he did, we picture the person of Jesus performing healing miracles, teaching in parables, eating with disciples, Pharisees, and tax collectors, engaging in personal conversations, with these actions being interspersed with or interrupted by times of prayer. Of course, Jesus and his life could be seen the other way around, as a series of private prayer times in between the ordinary events of his daily ministry. Jesus was a person of prayer. Nowhere is this made clearer than in the Gospel of Luke, which records nearly a dozen prayer times, including many that are exclusive in Luke. As he tells the gospel story of Jesus, Luke portrays Jesus as praying his way from Galilee to Jerusalem and the cross. He usually mentions these prayer times in passing, so it would be easy to overlook this theme in the gospel. But when we take careful notice of all the times when Jesus went to pray, the cumulative effect is impressive. Luke wanted to show his readers that prayer is essential to a believer's life and to being a disciple. The first example comes in connection with Jesus' baptism by John in the Jordan River, which marked his initiation into his public ministry. Luke tells us that when Jesus had been baptized and was praying, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, and Jesus received a blessing from God. That's found in Luke 3, verses 21 to 22. Luke tells us further that when Jesus was about to choose his 12 disciples, he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. According to Luke, Jesus prayed early and often. On occasion, he prayed for an extended period of time. After Jesus fed the 5,000, he was alone with God in prayer once again. Maybe he was praying for his disciples, because on this occasion, Peter confessed him to be the Christ. 8 days later, Jesus went out to pray again, and this time he took three of his disciples with him. While they were saying their prayers, Jesus was transfigured before them in glorious splendor. Jesus prayed again, rejoicing in the Spirit and giving thanks to the Father. When the 70 returned safely from their gospel missions. It seems that whenever anything of major importance happened in the life and ministry of Jesus, it was surrounded and bathed in prayer. And this morning, we meet Jesus at the beginning of chapter 11 of Luke's gospel, at prayer once again in a certain place. With Luke's opening message, we are reminded of all the times that Jesus went to pray and of everything we learn from this example. We learn the necessity of regular prayer. If Jesus took the time to talk things over with his Father, how much more are we in need of time away with God in prayer? Jesus also teaches us the power of prayer. Through prayer, Jesus received the Holy Spirit with wisdom for teaching and power to heal. Through prayer, Jesus made disciples, choosing the 12 to continue his ministry. Through prayer, Jesus glorified God and was glorified by him. Through prayer, he carried forward the missionary work of the gospel. Therefore, if we want to see God work powerfully to change people's lives through our ministries of teaching, discipleship, mission activities, we need to spend time with Jesus in prayer. We will accomplish much more through prayer. The disciples were beginning to realize this truth by watching Jesus, and they wanted to experience it for themselves. So when Jesus finished praying, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." It was a common practice in those days for rabbis to teach their followers a specific form of prayer. Apparently, John the Baptist had taught a specific form of prayer for his disciples, although it is not recorded in Scripture. The prayer united and identified the disciples with their spiritual leader or teacher. Now, the disciples wanted Jesus to do the same thing for them. They were in awe of his prayer life. They wanted to know his secret to being in closer communion with God. Thus, they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray as he prayed. This request fits the movement of Luke's gospel. Last week's story of Martha and Mary showed the importance of knowing God through the teaching of the Son. But there is another side to this. We need to speak to God as well as to listen to God. And today's gospel lesson, Jesus shows us how. The disciples' request fits our own spiritual need. They were still learning how to follow Jesus, and they were realizing the importance and purpose of prayer for doing their ministry. Although they came from a praying people, they had never seen anyone pray like Jesus. In Jesus, they saw a unique passion for prayer with unusual zeal and unprecedented intimacy. When they saw this, they wanted it for themselves. Now, this would be the appropriate point in time to talk and teach about the Lord's Prayer. I could address how Jesus organizes his prayer with two petitions for God and three for ourselves. First, by asking God to enhance his reputation and to extend his influence and rule. And second, by addressing our own needs, asking God for daily provision, daily pardon, and daily protection. I could also point out how good it is for Christians to use the very words of Jesus when they pray, especially in public or family worship. The early church father, Cyprian, was right when he asked, "What prayer could have greater power with the Father than which come from the lips of the Son?" Martin Luther tells us that in the Lord's Prayer, we realize God's good and gracious will for us. The Lord's Prayer is a model, not a mantra. The important thing is not using the exact words that Jesus uttered, but following the same structure and incorporating the same themes into our prayer lives. David Lowes working preachers, in his weekly blog, a simple suggestion for preaching this text for this Sunday. Do what Jesus did, that is, teach your people how to pray. Let me do it this way. Here are those three observations about today's gospel passage. First, the Lord's Prayer is pretty simple. Jesus' prayer covers the basics of life. In short, prayer doesn't need to be complex to be faithful. When I was a teenager, I started to learn to pray by praying the collects for each Sunday throughout the week with one main theme. Try it this week with the prayers and petitions contained in your bulletin. Second, faithful prayer is honest. Jesus' parable invites us to imagine that, like a man confident of his neighbor's hospitality, we should ask for whatever we need. That means that prayer isn't about saying the right words or sounding eloquent or pious. Rather, it's about saying what's on our hearts in our own words. Third, prayer is based on trust. Jesus promises that just as we desire to give those we love good things, so does God even want more to give us every good gift. Because we trust this is true, we pray. This is one of those difficult parts of prayer because the answer is not always yes. Like a good parent, God's answer might be maybe, and sometimes it might be no. Yet we still trust that God is listening, and we continue to pray because we believe God loves us and all God's created world. Another approach to praying also involves our weekly bulletins, the prayers of intercession, and the list of people in need of prayer. Instead of leaving your bulletin here or throwing it out, use it as a weekly devotional tool. Use the petitions from the intercessory prayer in your prayers and pray for the people listed weekly. Even another approach is one that began with our Stephen Ministry biweekly sessions and continues today in our monthly council meetings by sharing a joy or a concern or a high and a low from the previous week or month and then praying for each other. Beloved people of God, prayer, according to Jesus in today's passage, is not primarily about getting things from God, but rather about the relationship we have with God. After a life and ministry of prayer, Jesus prays yet again while hanging on the cross, a prayer of complete surrender and trust. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. In the same way, we are invited to make all of our needs, wants, hurts, hopes, and desires known to God. We are invited to be vulnerable and transparent with God in the confidence that whatever may happen, our relationship with God is the most precious thing we have. While this may not give us everything we want, it does give us what we most need. Amen.